Pura vida.
Pura vida. So first interview on the beach. I was saying before that I think I'm gonna have to make this a theme, because why not?
Yeah, no better place to sit around and chat. I remember actually like 10 years ago hanging out here with some Spanish friends, and we'd be on the beach trying to communicate, but I had no Spanish at the time. And we'd sit out here for like hours just giggling stupid like kids, trying to translate maybe one sentence from Spanish into English in a conversation. So the conversation would really get nowhere for an hour or two sometimes, but be like one word after another. But that would be just enough enjoyment and fun for us out in a place like this where Pura Vida, we didn't need anything else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's gonna be the theme of this conversation, I think, a little bit here today. So everybody that's watching, if you've been following at all for the last year or so, you know that I've been on a bit of a journey myself personally, just, I guess you would call it a spiritual journey, a bit of an awakening, trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing on this planet and what I want to do with my life and who I want to spend it with and where I want to be and all of these questions that you start to contemplate, I think, when, you know, I actually posted about this the other day, you know, what is a midlife crisis? Is this it? I'm pretty good with it. If this is what it is.
Yeah.
But for those of you that don't know, this is Ryan Peters. And again, if you've been watching anything that I've been doing, the podcast, we did one back in, I want to say December, I think we did it. And then I published it in January.
Yeah, something like that. I think it was still this past year.
Yeah. And we titled that one, Live Your Best Life in Paradise, or something to that effect. And at the time, you and I had known each other for maybe like 6 months, I want to say, maybe even longer.
We'd still never met though.
We'd still never met.
In person, yeah.
Yeah. But we had some mutual connections through Thomas primarily, right?
Yeah. So
Thomas Lemesure. Yeah. And I know you had supported Thomas when he brought his family down here. And to even back things further, for those of you that didn't watch the last interview that I did with Ryan, this was always something that I was talking about even with Thomas like 3 years ago when I first met him, which was at a mastermind in San Diego. It was like, imagine this life in the future where we'll set up shop in Costa Rica and still be working down there, but have this life that we've always dreamed of as well. And
yeah,
it's just been steps along the way, right?
And yeah, it's funny how the networks and the dynamics work too, because it was, you know, while Thomas was detailing his drive to scale up his organization, and we started working together when they were still just irrational, the small team, I put in a goal point of moving to Costa Rica, and he was super down with that one. And so we lined that up, and eventually we made it come true for him for a while as well down here with his family, which he loved. And then when he bought your company, and you're like, well, now I want to move on to the next step of your life, and he's like, you got to meet Ryan, right?
Yeah.
And then we met, and we had a great time. You're just a great guy to talk to as well. Next thing I know, you're living down here as well, Pura Vida.
Yes, exactly. Well, the intention was there right from the start. And, you know, people always ask me, why Costa Rica? And the answer I always give is just like, why not? I don't know. It's like, I had never been here before. I had a buddy I've mentioned to you before, Mike Alasky, who lived here in like 2006, 2007. And he always talked about Tamarindo in particular and just loved it here. In fact, that was part of our conversations when we started our very first business together, a website development company in like 2005, was the 4-hour work week, you know, and started to realize that, like, I don't know if I want a 4-hour work week, but, you know, even a couple hours a day sounds pretty good. But 15 years later, I finally got there, because that's definitely the life that I'm living now. And it hasn't come without its pain, though, and I want to talk to you about all of these experiences along the way, but
yeah, it's not like we just showed up here without doing anything.
No, exactly. Or, you know, like, we set the intention to be able to have a great day here today. You asked me yesterday, you're like, hey, I think I'm going to go out to Playa Grande tomorrow and hit the waves, and I thought, okay, I'll check the calendar, and I looked, I was like, oh, I have nothing going on except for
this. That's right.
But we create that, right? Like,
yeah. Manifest it.
You got to create that intention.
Yeah, prioritize it.
Yeah. But hey, I want to introduce everybody even further to you and your background and story a little bit before we talk about what's brought me to here and all the things that we've kind of ran into along the way, because I know there's been people that have asked me about what this experience has been like and how they can do the same thing. So, and you've been a huge support and help on all of that. So I want to dig into all that stuff. But what brought you here and how long ago was it? And what made you keep coming back and call this
home? It was probably 12 years ago now or so. A couple of friends of mine were doing a surf trip through Costa Rica. They had done a trip the prior year, driven all around Costa Rica, and had realized that their favorite spot was Tamarindo up on the northwest coast here. So the next trip, they invited me, and they're like, Ryan, you got to come with us. You're not a surfer or anything, but like, come on down. You'll have a great time. So I flew down with them, and the place was just so healthy. Like, it was just so pure here. I'm a two-on-two beach volleyball player at the time, and they had a great community for that here. And after we were done playing beach volleyball, like, all the guys and the girls and their kids and just, like, hanging out on the beach as the sun's going down, and it was just so qualitative. And I was like, I've got to find a way to live here at some point in my life. It's just the right thing to prioritize in life. And it took me a bunch of years to do that because I was working my ass off building my first company. But eventually it made sense and moved down here, and then was in the States for a number of years as well, and ended up coming back and forth. And then just eventually moved back because it was just the right place to put myself as a priority for my health, my happiness, and helping other people. And it was also kind of a part of the impact too. Like, you can help growth ring things in North America, helping companies move into the city, increasing employment, all types of different dynamics. But when you do that, when you start to realize the dynamics in a place like Central America and a leading country like Costa Rica and the influence and impact it has to help improve lives in places where, you know, they don't even have a floor or running water or even running toilets, and how creating jobs in these regions helps move that forward, it gives you a whole bunch of incredible dynamics that are just so worth kind of the next steps of trying to figure out and help out from.
Yeah, I know I had ideas about what this place was like just because you gave me a lot of feedback on what to expect. And of course, you know, the Google machine tells you other things, and that can be a good and a bad thing sometimes, especially if you get into the wrong forums where there's a lot of negativity or people are wanting to kind of put down some of the great, you know, the high vibe things that are available and accessible to us here. But my first experience when I landed here was, one, it's just beautiful here. It's so lush and green. Two, you can't really fully understand the quality of the roads until you drive them here. Yeah. You have an idea, but it's really something. But you understand why though. Like, we came here in September, which is typically like start of rainy season, right? And now, well, this is rainy season, and look at it right now.
Yeah, beautiful day.
But there is some like torrential downpours, and you look at the roads and you think, well, of course there's these massive divots in them and stuff, right? So I guess.
Yeah, and you recognize if you run a business or you're in business and what have you, even running a house, you understand cash flow principles, you understand it from a country level at the same time, and simply, you know, what level of cash flow these countries have and how able they are to keep up or to improve their conditions. And it's not an easy thing to do to scale up a system like that.
So, yeah.
People like us do help with that if we start to apply ourselves and show people that it's a good, solid place, and it makes sense from a business level to put your companies down here, to hire people in these areas, and to spend more time down here. So it's a win-win, especially when you're in a northern regions like we've seen with COVID for the last few years. Decimating from a health perspective, while places like this have stayed open and healthy.
Yeah. And I, like, you know, I'm not gonna lie, we're living a pretty privileged life here. Like, we're in a beautiful house. You helped us find it. We made that choice to actually be in a place like that. But being around and seeing just the varying ranges of wealth, and like, we went and looked at a house yesterday that's a potential retreat location that I don't even know what that place would be worth. Maybe 3-4 million, maybe even more.
Yeah, 3 to 5.
3 to 5 million, yeah.
Only because the market is high right now, of course. But
Yeah. But you have that where you have double infinity pools and room for 15 people to sleep and private catering and walking distance to the surf beach and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you have literally shacks, like you said, with
dirt floors. You go to some of our friends' places and you realize that your friends that you're hanging out with are actually living in very tiny places, and those are even upscale relative to an average Costa Rican or Latin American a lot of the times, who simply don't have the opportunities, the education, the social infrastructure, the civil infrastructure in this area to really help themselves, you know, improve their lives.
Yeah. Well, and being around it now for, we've only been here for 5 weeks, I've felt a shift even in myself too, and we've had conversations about that. I've been asking you questions about, like, what can a person do to actually be a positive contributor to this country and to this region and to this town and everything, where, not to say that I wasn't thinking that before, but when you actually get here and you see the difference between these things, you start to realize how much opportunity there is to help. And you mentioned it yesterday when we went and toured that place and we were talking about price points and stuff, and I said, okay, yeah, this is a possibility, we'll just increase the price. And you're like, there's an entrepreneur talking, right? But
yeah,
it's true though.
For the retreats.
Yeah, when you see something and you see opportunity as opposed to despair or frustration or challenge. But I know there has to be a lot of patience involved with that. And that's one thing that I've really had to lean into and prepared myself coming down here, was to just truly understand that not everything is going to go exactly how you want it to.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to slow down enough and recognize opportunities, and sometimes the opportunity is not to go and do more stuff, it's just to do a whole bunch of nothing. You know, the rain starts coming down and you can't go outside. Find your peace inside, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of qualitative ways to slow down and take the time when you do apply yourself to something to do it with more quality and intention than you may have done when you're up north, just trying to hustle and bustle, moving forward as a principal. And there's a lot of impact down here that can happen now. I mean, Latin America for over a decade now has been kind of foreseen as being one of the fastest growing areas on the planet. And you can see why, because there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of educated people down here now.
Yep.
Costa Rica, I'd say, leads that in respect to its population and the level of technical expertise they have here and in various categories, and how much they really want the work as well, how driven they are for it.
Totally.
So there's a lot of opportunities for not only enjoying surfside, ocean, incredible spaces and places, but also to have a real impact down here.
Yeah. No, we witnessed that firsthand too, because, you know, speaking about our transition coming here, we have two boys that are 4 and 5, so they were going to school for the very first time, which is a big thing in itself. Even if you're living in the same neighborhood that we were in Canada, it was still going to be a big transition. But to come here, new school, new teachers, new kids, don't know where to go initially, all of that stuff. And then knowing that I personally have really leaned into making sure that I'm taking care of myself first, and then having this hierarchy of me and Char being good next, and then our kids in that order.
They're going to feel it. Once you start feeling empowered and strong and healthy, your kids are going to feel it naturally as well, and they're going to be better off for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we knew that coming here, we didn't have family. We have, you know, you.
Yeah,
we knew you.
Yeah, right.
And then, of course, Arno, who you introduced us to, who we're renting our place from. So we knew a couple of people coming down here, but we didn't really have a circle of friends or a support network even to be able to have a babysitter for a couple hours. But going back to what you were saying, Sharmila actually met a gal at a restaurant who just got along with the kids. She was playing with them and just entertaining them and stuff. And she asked her, do you do babysitting? She's like, I do, actually, in addition to my 3 waitressing jobs and 2 other people that I babysit for.
Yeah.
And she's going to school for business administration, aspiring to be able to work in one of the hotels here.
Right.
And like, I assume that there are people that are ambitious like that, but when see it, you're just like, okay, there's people that are willing to hustle, but also...
Most people are working incredible, like, 6-day, 10 to 12-hour days down here just to get by on, you know, subpar salaries, if even you can call it a salary.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about this in the past before too, but there's so many opportunities for people with these skills and talents that are, you know, developing their skills and talents to be able to be of service to companies all over the world too, right? So when you think about the discrepancy between wealth of these $5 million mansions and then shacks with dirt floors, you know, how do you close that gap a little bit? Well, let's leverage the technology and the fact that the world got smaller. And I know we've talked about this before, right? And you even introduced me to a few people that are in the developments and technology space as well, right? That are looking to really kind of step outside the borders of Costa Rica to be able to just increase the overall wealth of the people that are living here.
Yeah, it's not going to happen overnight. But you already have a substantial workforce and dynamic here working internationally. I mean, since Procter & Gamble and Hewlett Packard rolled in maybe 20 years ago now, the entire country is driven around education. They don't have a military, right, as a lot of people already know. And from a level of development in Latin America, I'd say they're leading in that sense, especially on environmentalism as well. But the capability in technology and healthcare and other categories is incredible already. And so you simply even have people that are organized moving down to these areas, and that interaction within the country just slowly builds up to a level that it catalyzes further growth, which is great. So people do start creating development projects, do think more qualitatively about what they're doing before they do it even. And so those dynamics are really good. And there's a lot of work still to be done, for sure. But it's just step by step, you know, and the more time you spend down here, the more aware you are of the dynamics of it, the more comfortable you get with starting to invest in these places. And there's a lot going on down here.
Yeah.
It's booming down here, as you can see. So,
yeah. Well, and there's plenty of opportunities to have really enlightening conversations with people that are all from all over the world too. And
yeah,
thinking in this kind of way. And I think that's where the magic happens a lot of times, is you get people that are of that same mindset, vibration, frequency, whatever you want to call it, vibe. And you just start, you know, thinking of possibilities. And I've met a number of them through you, and just even just being social and getting out into the community and stuff and meeting people. But you know, we're on the beach here right now, Playa Grande, and we just went into the water. Forgot to even mention that at the start, but these are Ryan's boards here right now. We went out for a session, and well, he did. I went out into some of this white water right here and got hammered by about 8 waves, and then the 9th one, I think,
We'll give you credit, though. It's day one at Playa Grande, and Playa Grande is probably one of the most respected areas for our experienced surfers in this region. So even getting you out here in Grande is something in and of itself. So it's step by step.
Step by step.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and that's what I was reminding myself even coming out here, too, is I mentioned to you, I could either sit on the shore here and still enjoy my time. Like, how can you not with this? But or I can step into the water and realize that I'm actually at the bottom level of this next level of my fitness and just my enjoyment of being in nature and catching waves and like actually riding them.
Yeah.
And I can either choose to not go through that and go, no, it's not for me, or have a day like today where I know my physical conditioning is just not where it needs to be yet because I haven't been in the water. I've been in 3 times now, yeah, right?
But you give it a try.
But I gave it a try, yeah.
It humbles me every time as well. Like you saw today, like I didn't have the greatest surf session in my life, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But just getting out there and in the water and the exercise and the raw beauty of where we are, like it's just, it cleanses out everything so that you can think that much clearer about what you're doing for the rest of the day, the rest of the week.
Yeah.
And it's like, we should also talk about the retreats that you're starting to look at doing now too, because
yeah,
like those are steps into becoming more aware of what's going on in these regions. And if it's something that's interesting to you, first of all, it's a good time for 7 to 10 days or however long you're planning them.
Yep.
But it's also just starting to touch down in these areas and really realize how much opportunity and how effective these regions can be for what you're probably already doing or what you want to step into.
Yep. Well, and yeah, speaking of that, like the last retreat that I hosted back in Kelowna, we ended up with you know, I guess call it high achieving individuals that were there, like really people that you would consider successful in business, running 8-figure companies, and primarily in the wellness space, actually, like people that are in, you know, the pharmaceutical on the natural side of things, and even mushrooms, psychedelic and functional, people that own chains of gyms, all that kind of stuff. So they were really into experiencing nature and going and doing activities together. It was a men's retreat. That's what we'll be doing the next time here too. But there's no doubt that there's a whole nother level of experience that you can have here. But at the same time, it is really, it comes back to the conversations with people that want to have those kind of conversations. Because to me, that lights me up, man. Like, I don't want to do anything other than that, really.
Yeah, and it's great to get experienced, knowledgeable people down here, 8, 9 figures, whatever, scaling up organizations. We've even got some 10-figure people in the water from time to time here as well that are really just looking to explore and figure out how to lead their organizations into the next levels and see how these regions, how they can impact these regions and yet also benefit their own organizations right now or what they're doing in their lives, their families. So it's great to see that whole mix here since you've got such a nice international dynamic between the French, the Italians, the Germans, the Swiss, then you've got all the Latin American
networks
here, and all within small communities, which is a bit different than a bigger city, because you have this mix all the time around you, and that dynamic makes for an awesome group of people here, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Americas.
I remember you telling me a story the last podcast that we did where you were out in the waves just like this, right? And just chatting with the people that are around you, just enjoying the view, floating. And you saw them struggling a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And these are people running massive organizations sometimes, just trying to clear their mind and let things settle when they've got so much going on. It always feels so significant, but really, you really need to just bring it back down to simplicity usually. And it's funny how the analogies of surfing, and even in private equity conversations and so forth, people that have surfed or play these games can relate, because it's just a matter of lining yourself up into a natural motion of what's going out in the water and committing to the right dynamics at the right time to kind of roll with things and recognize how to move with that energy. The next thing you know, you're sailing along on a surfboard and thinking, wow, I also know what I need to do when I get back home. Mm-hmm. As far as some tough decisions I thought I had to make that are actually fairly simple.
Yeah, the surfing, even though I've only been out 3 times, the very first time you and I went out, it was a spiritual experience in itself. So we were out in the water and had maybe caught a couple of waves up until that point, and I was kind of criticizing or critiquing where I was at as far as like, well, this is how I left off 7 years ago when I was in Hawaii. And now I'm here, and I was feeling pretty good actually about how I was doing on the first go, but always, you know, maybe the mind's going to, I should be doing better. I want to do more. What can I do, you know?
Yeah.
And you actually stopped me in the moment and you're like, hey, hold on a second. Look around you right now.
Yeah.
No, seriously, like turn around and look. And in fact, we were over there, so we were looking at this beach right here. And yeah, I think the way that you phrased it was like, look at this place. This is gorgeous. You're here.
Pure nature.
Yeah, and just out in nature, like literally in the waves. And, you know, you gave me a piece of encouragement there too, which I didn't even know was needed at the time, but it was just like, you're here. You already took one of the biggest steps that many people never even get to, which is to make the leap and bring your entire family down here and make the time to get out in the waves before you start your work day. So just appreciate it. Just be grateful for it.
Yeah, it's pretty decent.
And I think there's a lot to be said about that too, even when we're talking about these individuals that may be running these 7, 8, even 9-figure businesses, is that in my experience, a lot of times the business side of things they excel at, but maybe other areas of life they struggle because they're pushing so hard on one side. Maybe it's the family dynamic, maybe it's their physical health.
There's all types of
all of those things, all the above,
psychological
right?
reasons from past and present and trying to look in and interpret future that lead us into the binds that we're in sometimes that may seem incredible in some ways, but really in others need to be altered and changed to improve a real quality of life level. And sometimes you can find that if you can just stop and appreciate where you are and naturally, even by instinct, recognize what logic was otherwise pushing you into other directions for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you don't have to be here to make that kind of stuff a priority. I know that's one of the things that I was trying to wrap my head around last November was, you know, call it the midlife crisis or just the questioning of like, what is this all for? But I was trying to figure out how to have it all. Like, I consider myself as that high achieving entrepreneur. And then I started to kind of detach from that of like, no, I just want to be a high achieving human being.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, live all aspects of life. I want to be present with my kids. I want to enjoy the food that I'm eating. I want to sit here and not think about how I got to rush back to a meeting, which I don't have to today. But that was a choice again, right?
This is the meeting.
This is the meeting. We're in it. We're doing it. It's a board meeting, literally.
Yeah.
But I want to speak a little bit too about how you have supported me and our family in particular, just to give people a sense.
Next time we'll put the board meeting in a friend's place in a Tico typical hut too, just to give the other perspective.
Yeah. No doubt.
As in, we're not always just on the beach, like our night ops from time to time.
Yeah, right.
Story for another time.
No, but that's very true though, you know, like my intention in even getting all this equipment, like we're using these new microphones here, which I haven't used before, but I bought them probably 9 months ago, but it was for this exact intention.
And
yeah, we'll do more from the beach, but absolutely, let's do it all around, show people exactly what this is all about. And speaking of that, so let me just give everybody a little context as to what Ryan has really, truly supported us on from a granular level. So, you know, when we first met and I just threw out like, hey, I think we might want to move to Costa Rica, you were one of the people that didn't go, really, why? You know, like, do you realize how hard that's going to be? You were like, cool, you should. And I was like, all right,
vamos.
All right, I can talk to this guy about this stuff. And naturally, the first questions are just like, where do you start, right? And you turn to the internet, of course, you talk to people that have been there and done that. And I know it was super helpful to have you just give us a little bit of guidance about the region specifically, like the difference between some of these different towns around here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, having kids, the schools. And then, of course, we needed to ultimately find a place to live. And Sharmila came here in March. And how was that actually? Because I know, you know, we've talked about it and she's talked about it a little bit, but what was it like having Char here and showing her around? And
that was great. I mean, your wife's a lovely lady, and it was nice to have the trust from you, since we knew each other through network, but we never met. So to send your wife down here to hang out with some surf punk that seems to have had a decent past and structure through the network was still trust and confidence on your side as well. And we got along great, and it was just really walking her through all of the different school systems, getting her comfortable with the area, recognizing that there are other families down here, good networks, you know, the babysitters, can you do business down here, the Wi-Fi, you know, all of the different questions from every level of legal and accounting and everything else that just pops up in the brain as kind of a resistance to the change. And just taking them step by step. And it was funny, actually, because one of the things, and I'm sure she could talk about this as well, is she came down here just the type of person who was just like, okay, we've got this list, this is what we've got to do.
Oh, yeah,
this
the agenda here. Was on.
We got to get this done. And I was like, all right, let's go to the beach. And she was like, whoa, kind of thing, you know? I was like, let's go. And we went to the beach and everything, and we came back, and I was like, okay, so by the way, steps 1 through 7 are already done.
Yeah.
We already took care of them in the background. They're already lined up. We're already going. So it was nice because I've been down here for a while, and I do have all those contacts and those people around, and it was really easy, in a certain extent, to line it all up properly when you're organized, and also prioritize for her that it was focus on her first as well as a person,
mm-hmm.
to enjoy where she was and say, this is something that I need for me, not just my kids and my family and my husband and everything else, but for her.
Yeah.
So I think she had a really good time down here as an individual.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it was our joke that, all right, don't worry, let's just make sure your list is done so we can make it look like you've been doing all this work while you're down here to the husband and to the team. And yes, everything's done, but you've had an incredible time while you're here.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun. It was nice.
Well, that
wasn't the first time, obviously.
No.
With Thomas and Nicole down here and others arriving pretty much every month now, right?
So, yeah. Well, and that's, I'm glad you brought that up too, because, you know, every person brings a different dynamic and a different, you know, maybe value system and priorities of what they believe they need to get accomplished. And I know Thomas and his wife and their 5 kids ended up in a different area for their reasons, and we ended up here for our reasons. And
yeah, and I've pointed people to other regions completely sometimes, just depending on what they're looking for and the type of person they are.
Yeah.
And it's not a big country, so it's not difficult to kind of send them into other areas and introduce them to a person here or there and just, you know, go through those exploration exercises too.
Yeah. I joked around that I was calling Ryan the godfather of Tamarindo. Not sure if he's attached to it yet or
no,
not.
No, it's a little bit too much for my ego in my head, I think, right now.
The humbling. Yeah, the humble Canadian in you says no.
Casa Ryan.
Casa Ryan. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, the house of Ryan.
Yeah.
So the speaking of our place, though, too. So when Char did ultimately leave here and when she came down, that was the whole purpose, too. Yes, it was to go and just kind of get a feel for all these areas, but I think I mentioned to you, she traveled South and Central America like a year or two before we even met.
Yeah.
And I remember that person that I met at that time who was just full of life and always wanting to explore. And when I first met her, even in Vancouver, like you're from BC originally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know Vancouver. But like there's so much to explore in Vancouver even too. And I was new to Vancouver in 2010 and she toured me around, took me out to Lions Bay and we did some random hike that's nobody knows about except for the locals and just all that kind of stuff. And she's helped track down, I think, two of our last three places that we've lived in where I didn't even look at them. I just moved in. So there was a lot of trust built there. But that's what
kind of common too. I mean, a lot of the times dynamics are always different these days, but a lot of the times it's the wife that's kind of taking charge of that part of the system. So.
Yeah.
It was familiar.
Yeah. And she gave you, in our case, she expressed to you that Tamarindo was likely going to be the place just because it's a little more happening. There's a little more, traffic going through it.
More social. When you're actually here for longer periods of time, through the ups and the downs of high season to low season, it's nice to have more of a selection of people to choose from as far as who you encounter, who you create as your network down here, your friends, and so forth. Whereas in other areas that are sometimes, you know, better in certain areas, certain facets of life,
it's a bit more isolated.
Can be much more isolating at the same time too. And I've moved around a lot in my life with everything, building the tech company and so forth. So I got fairly familiar with all of those kind of do's or don'ts from my perspective, at least, while I was living that life.
Yeah. So we ended up in, like I mentioned at the start of this, in a beautiful brand new house that's just maybe 6 minute walk up from the beach, and we've been here for about 5 weeks now. And I believe I was preparing to land here well in advance through all the things that I was doing personally, just to prepare my mind, prepare my body. Still wasn't prepared for the physical shape I needed to be in for surfing, but I was quite willing to surrender to that though too. I just remember back in the hockey days, I could do twice a days all summer and still get on the ice and just be bagged after the first session, you know?
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of thing, but you know, between that and really diving into breath work and meditation and reflection and just slowing down, I was able to land here and clear my calendar and still be able to meet my responsibilities of all the stuff I was doing with work, but be able to get up at 5 a.m. and go to the gym and then go to the beach and grab a coffee and sit there and write in my journal and then go home and start my day. And it's taken Charmilla a little bit longer to get there, but I've seen slow, steady progression even for her to work through all of those, I don't even know what you would call it, but just...
The challenges of change.
Yeah, you know? just kind of necessary things that we need to go through in order to adapt to this new life that we're living right now.
Yeah.
And I'm just reminded too of how important it is to try not to take on too much at one time.
Yeah.
Like the new school, the new place, moving all your stuff, the dog's not here, like it's a lot, man. It's a lot. And I actually was kind of brushing it off of like, no, it's not. We're at the beach. Look at how amazing this is. And I had to slow down and go, okay, my family needs me right now, which is why I've only surfed 3 times, to be honest. Like I'd love to be out here every day, but I've been spending a lot more time at home just making sure Char's good, the kids are good.
Yeah, I mean, we all have stuff going on. It's not like we're out here. I have not. This is the first time I've been out to Grande and Kent for quite a while now. But it takes time to just adapt your psychology to the change. It isn't a lot, really, when you think about it. Like, the changes seem pretty frivolous relative to a lot of other things going on around the world with people here and there.
Yeah.
But it's still change.
That's it, in context.
So it still takes time to breathe and just to get used to the new environment for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what an environment.
What an environment. Yeah, just like you said, when we went surfing that first time, it's pretty incredible. And you have a choice, you know, you can stay locked up in your house and feel like things are not how they should be, or you can get out into those sunsets and even just people watch. Like we were saying, how incredible it is to just sit on the beach and kind of observe, especially in a touristy kind of place like this, because you see all different types of people.
Oh, yeah, from all over the world. Yeah. You just get out there, get active one step after another, and you make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and it feels good when you're taking care of your body, taking care of your mind, just getting out into nature.
Oh, yeah, and you exude that in everything else that you do after that.
Totally. Yeah, you mentioned you have a pretty consistent morning routine that really sets you up for that as well, hey?
I do. I won't lie. It definitely gets disturbed from time to time like anybody else's, but yeah, I try to stay.
A couple late nights, salsa nights?
Yeah, all types of different things that you've seen in the last week or two.
Yeah, just people around, right?
Yeah.
A couple late nights, here. Even if there's not drinks involved, just the shortened sleep will disrupt it.
And just becoming more and more a part of the environment in Latin America with the language, the culture, understanding where the base populations are and how they're operating and interacting with that and so forth. But yeah, the light beach runs in the morning, the yoga routines, the gym, the surfing sessions, those are all things that I try to keep in a good, natural, consistent rhythm while I go about the other challenges of business down here, of helping people out simply with where they are in life and trying to improve, you know, parts of the conditions of what you see in daily life and challenges people are working at here, because it is more difficult than most of the places that we live in. And then even starting to think about, like, how can you do that from a scalable, more significant kind of level, and what type of commitment that takes, and how to do that without totally disrupting your entire quality of stepping into a place like this for a reason for yourself as well. So it's,
yeah,
there's all types of things going on, you know, as you move into these areas, but they're, to me, they're all great things on the next levels of and challenges that I've placed in front of myself for the next part of my journey.
Yeah.
Which is what I think a lot of people are doing when they come down here. So you share that with them in a commonality and in a way that sometimes I think you can realize when you're getting detached from the people and the things that you're so used to and so comfortable with up north, because you have that sense that you should be challenging yourselves to the next levels in different ways, but just trying to figure out what that's supposed to look like and how you're supposed to even find that when you're so into the regular cycle of life of where you've really fought so hard to get to,
struggle,
wherever you are,
hustle,
you know, and to pull yourself out of that and say it's time for something new is not, it's like a contradiction in and of itself, right?
Yeah.
It kind of goes against your instinct, even though your true instincts are saying, yes, it's time to challenge yourself and live again, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's honestly the thing that I'm leaned into right now. And like, I've created my own framework of 12 dimensions of life of where I get to focus my time. Man, these waves are, they're going out and coming in and causing these big splashes. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You see that?
Swell's rolling in.
Yeah,
Still small, but the next day or two, hopefully it kicks in more too. Yeah.
It's crazy, man. That's what I feel like I was in earlier.
Oh yeah,
it felt like a washing machine.
It's a workout.
Just toss it. But yeah, these 12 dimensions of life, and there's lots of ways that people choose to define this so that they can kind of wrap their intellectual brain around it. But just the thing that I'm pushing myself on is, can I slow down, take care of myself physically, make sure my relationship with myself and my wife and my kids is good, really lean into the spiritual side of things, which a lot of it is just to slow down, and have my business actually excel because of it. This whole expansion of time, right? It's like, I don't need to put in more hours. I don't need to be connected more. You and I were talking the other day, I think, how many hours did you spend on the computer the other day? And you're like,
I was on it the whole day. And I was like, what the hell am I doing?
A whole day on the computer.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, right?
Sense.
Everybody listening is like, this is every day.
No, but I worked my way out of that for a reason.
Totally.
So,
Yeah, and the truth is that you don't need to be on the computer all day, right? There's lots of things that you can do to, you know, and this is really where surrounding yourself with talent as well too, and having good systems and procedures and whatnot comes in. This is where my brain keeps going when I think about the well-educated Costa Rican population even too, that wants to get into this space. Is like, there's so much opportunity. The world shrunk.
Yeah, and they're
so capable.
Last
2.5 years
too. Like, I people down here where I'm like, yeah, they're super capable, and they're so driven, they're so willing to work, multiple language skills, technically proficient. And now that we've moved into a more remote type of working environment, that opportunity is there for the right types of leaders that recognize it and bring it in. I mean, come on, like you start setting up ops in a place like Costa Rica, you don't think you're going to start attracting employees from all over the place?
Oh, 100%. You know? That was always part of the conversation with me and you and with Thomas and Nico and everybody else that has been involved in the whole vision of Republics right from the start too.
Yeah, and not only taking people from here, but even as a central base, being able to source then people from all over other areas of Latin America that might be a little bit more risky in certain dynamics.
Yeah.
But still same time zones, a hub in a sense of being able to source people from multiple countries, the management systems that are sound from here for that. It's got real capacity and it makes sense from a business perspective as well.
Yeah, and that brings up one other topic too that we'll maybe chat about, and because I have no idea how long we've been even going for, but I think it's still recording.
You better watch our time in the sun, that's all I'm thinking.
I know, right? I'm also here. I'm feeling that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of, you know, doing business here, one of the things that we're doing right now is buying a vehicle too, and you really get a sense of kind of how things work just by doing something as granular as that.
Yeah.
So when you think about, like, how would you set up a business that can have operations here and employ local people, but then also bring people in from North America and Europe and wherever else to come and work here too. There's complications to it, but there's also ways to get it done though too, right?
There always is. Yeah. And it's just a matter of finding people with the experience that you can trust to go through those systems and integrating them into your own systems. I mean, we've had major international organizations, very common, recognized, marketed names of brand names out there that they go through this process and right down to the very smallest of businesses. And there's always ways. It's just looking at the model of the system, looking what the interest is, what the where the value could be, and then just going about it step by step,
yeah,
with those systems in place. So, and it's having the networks and connections for it too, right?
Like, yeah,
same with the vehicles. You have the accountants, you have the legal people, put everything together properly. You find the technical expertise to confirm that everything is sound as it operates, and you move forward. And vehicles, the same thing as setting up a tech company, setting up a anything category company.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I think there's a key element in all of that, which is patience. It's a lot of patience required.
Patience, step by step.
And having the procedure down, though, too, right?
You can move faster that way as well. If you've got the right people, you have the right patience for it, and you let them take action in ways that maybe are not your own methods that you're familiar with to do things. Things get done sometimes twice as quickly, you know?
Yeah.
Or twice as efficiently, twice as qualitatively.
Which is where the connection to where we are right now ultimately lies, which is with the waves, right?
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even the decision that we made to go down the beach a little bit so that we weren't right here trying to go out in this, because this is insane. I went out here by myself when you were out there first, just to see if I could ride some whitewater, and it was literally spinning me around.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is not a good idea.
Yeah, between the rip tides, currents, the frequency of wave sets, the period of time you need to get past the break, all the different factors in the ocean, it's kind of like stepping into different environments, different business dynamics, but yeah, you know your way out there and you've got people to guide you through it, why not?
There you go. I keep referring to it as the riding the waves of life, because it's the analogies are exactly the same. And
yeah,
if you ever get a chance to get down here for whatever reason it is, maybe it's for one of the retreats that I'll be hosting, and maybe it's just a vacation with your family. One, make sure you get out in this water and you experience the surf a little bit. But two, don't hesitate to reach out either. This is something that I think part of the reason why you and I decided to record this too is that somebody's going to come across this that's going to resonate with whatever aspect of your life that brought you to here or our life that brought us to here. And there might be a little inkling saying, I kind of want some of that too, but I don't know where to start. And I've been there. You were there when you first moved here too.
Yeah,
just gotta ask for help, right?
10, 15, 20 guys you've already got lined up for the next retreat.
Yeah.
We had a few more in the mix, and it's such a great crew. And it's a nice way to touch down here and just start to explore a little bit, have some fun, and see if it's of interest from there.
Yeah. Absolutely. So stay tuned. More information on that retreat coming up here soon. Cannot wait for that one. And man, thank you so much for everything that you've done so far and what we'll continue to do, and your friendship too. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you.
Yeah, me too. It's been a good trip, hasn't it?
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll see you on the next board meeting.
Ciao.
Thanks for watching.
All right, let's get out of the sun.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Trevor Turnbull Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please consider subscribing on my YouTube channel as well as on your favorite podcast platform. So until next time, remember, today is a beautiful day of opportunity. Trust that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. So be grateful, be curious, and be brave.